Not midget. Lou Donaldson, composer and primary artist on alto sax with Blues Walk. This is from his 1958 album of the same name. Ray Barreto on congas and percussion, Herman Foster on piano, Peck Morrison on bass, and this is one of my favorites, Imagine, since 1958. That's when you do something well. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we pick up from where we left off with each other on Friday. This is a very, very sad time, I think. And a great effort is being made to make it appear as everything is normal. It's not. The President of the United States is in deep psychological trouble, and he's taking or attempting to take the whole nation down with him. I just want to give you some ideas of what people are thinking. Here is a piece that I ran into, literally. This is in the Atlantic magazine. It's supposed to be a conservative magazine, but it was rather interesting, a piece, an opinion piece, that I bumped into there. It talks about the moment that we are in, and it's simply titled, Trump is not well. Trump is not well. And let me go to the bottom first so I could read you the credits rather than start from the top and then backtrack to the credits. The article is written by Peter Wehner, a contributing editor at The Atlantic and a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He writes widely on political, cultural, religious, and national security issues, and he is the author of The Death of Politics, How to Heal Our Frayed Republic After Trump. All right, so let's start with it. During the 2016 campaign, I received a phone call from an influential political journalist and author who was soliciting my thoughts on Donald Trump. Trump's rise in the Republican Party was still something of a shock, and he wanted to know the things I felt he should keep in mind as he went about the task of covering Trump. At the top of my list, talk to psychologists and psychiatrists about the state of Trump's mental health, since I considered that to be the most important thing when it came to understanding him. It was Trump's Rosetta Stone. I wasn't shy about making the same case publicly. During a July 14, 2016 appearance on C-SPAN's Washington Journal, for example, I responded to a pro-Trump caller who was upset that I opposed Trump despite my having been a Republican for my entire adult life and having served in the Reagan and George H.W. Bush administrations and the George W. Bush White House. I don't oppose Mr. Trump because I think he's losing or going to lose to Hillary Clinton, I told Ben from Purcellville, Virginia. I think he will, but as I said, he may well win. My opposition to him is based on something completely different, which is, first, I think he is temperamentally unfit to be president. I think he's erratic. I think he's unprincipled. I think he's unstable. And I think he has a personality disorder. I think he's obsessive. And at the end of the day, having served in the White House for 7 years in three administrations and worked for three presidents, one closely, and read a lot of history, I think the main requirement for President of the United States is temperament and disposition, whether you have wisdom and judgment and prudence. That statement has been validated. Donald Trump's disordered personality, his unhealthy patterns of thinking, functioning, and behaving has become the defining characteristic of his presidency. It manifests itself in multiple ways: his extreme narcissism, his addiction to lying about things large and small, including his finances, and bullying and silencing those who could expose him, his detachment from reality, including denying things he said even when there is video evidence to the contrary, his affinity for conspiracy theories, his demand for total loyalty from others while showing none to others, and his self-aggrandizement and petty cheating. It manifests itself in Trump's impulsiveness and vindictiveness, his craving for adulation, his misogyny, predatory sexual behavior, and sexualization of his daughters, his open admiration for brutal dictators, his remorselessness, and his lack of empathy and sympathy, including attacking a family whose son died while fighting for this country, mocking a reporter with a disability, and ridiculing a former prisoner of war. When asked about Trump's feelings for his fellow human beings, Trump's mentor, the notorious lawyer Roy Cohn, reportedly said, "He pisses ice water." The most recent example is the president's bizarre fixation on falsely insisting that he was correct to warn that Alabama faced a major risk from Hurricane Dorian, to the point that he doctored a hurricane map with a black Sharpie to include the state as being in the path of the storm. "He's deteriorating in plain sight," one Republican strategist who is in frequent contact with the White House told Business Insider on Friday. Asked why the president was obsessed with Alabama instead of the states that would actually be affected by the storm, the strategist said, "You should ask a psychiatrist about that. I'm not sure I'm qualified to comment." We have repeatedly heard versions of that sentiment over the course of Trump's presidency. It's said that speculating on Trump's mental health is inappropriate and unwise, especially for those who are not formally trained in the field of psychiatry or psychology. That's true, up to a point. Yes, it is best to leave it to experts to determine whether Trump satisfies the criteria for a clinical diagnosis of antisocial personality disorder, narcissistic personality disorder, some combination of both, or nothing at all. But if a clinical psychologist is beyond my own expertise, Trump's psychological impairments are obvious to all who are not willfully blind. On a daily basis, we see the president's chaotic, unstable mind on display. Are we supposed to ignore that? An analogy may be helpful here. If smoke is coming out from under the hood of your car, if you notice puddles of oil under it, if the engine is overheating and you smell burning oil, you don't have to be a car mechanic to know that there's something wrong with your car. Accepting the reality about Trump's disordered personality is important, even essential. For one thing, it would help us to better react to Trump's freak show. Even now, almost 1,000 days into his presidency, the latest Trump outrage elicits shock and disbelief in people. The reaction is, can you believe he said that? Can you believe he did this? To which my response is, why are you surprised? It's a shock only if the assumption is that we're dealing with a psychologically normal human being. We're not. Trump is profoundly compromised, acting just as you would imagine a person with a disordered personality would. Many Americans haven't yet come to terms with the fact that we elected as president a man who is deeply damaged, an emotional misfit. But it would be helpful if they did. Among other things, it would keep us feeling less startled and disoriented, less in a state of constant agitation, less susceptible to provocations. Donald Trump thrives on creating chaos, on gaslighting us, on creating antipathy among Americans, on keeping people on the edge and off balance. He wants to dominate our every waking hour. We ought not grant him that power over us. It might also take some of the edge off the hatred many people feel for Trump. Seeing him for what he is, a terribly damaged soul, a broken man, a person with a disordered mind, should not lessen our revulsion at how Trump treats or mistreats others, at his cruelty and dehumanizing actions. Nor should it weaken our resolve to stand up to it. It does complicate the picture just a bit, though, eliciting some pity and sorrow for Trump. But above all, accepting the truth about Trump's mental state will cause us to take more seriously than we have our democratic duty, which is to prevent a psychologically and morally unfit person from becoming president. The office is too powerful and the consequences are too dangerous to allow a person to become president who views morality only through the prism of whether an action advances his own narrow interests, his own distorted desires, his own twisted impulses. When an individual comes to believe his interests and those of the nation he leads are one and the same, it opens the door to all sorts of moral and constitutional devilry. Whether or not his disorders are diagnosable, the president's psychological flaws are all too apparent. They were alarming when he took the oath of office. They are worse now. Every day, Donald Trump is president in a day, is every day now that Donald Trump is president is a day of disgrace and a day of danger. Here endeth the opinion of this writer, Peter Wehner, who is quite familiar with matters of the White House and the presidency. Well, not to pat myself on the back, but you heard this before. Before he was even president, we talked about it. Just after he became president, we talked about it. We've talked about it several times since, that the president is psychologically off base, way off base. And here we are, as he says, 1,000 days into his presidency. He's halfway point through his presidency. And everybody's acting like they don't know what to do. So they distract us with too little, too late projects. Okay, should we take action against the president because we have found him wanting in these areas, A, B, C, D, and E, and should we mount a hearing on these things, which really misses the point. Technically, they may be well within the boundaries of their functions as members of Congress, looking into wrongdoing of a president. But that's not the issue. Really, it's related, but it is not the central issue. The central issue is that the president is mad. And doing all kinds of things that would cause any logical person, any reasonable person, to sound an alarm. Even psychiatrists, the psychiatric organizations, have warned the nation, the president is a danger to himself and to this country. And still, the pattern continues. Oh, what can we do? Well, he's halfway through his term. Let him have his other half, and let's be done with this and move on to another chapter. We don't know what the state of the country would be within 2 years, within even tomorrow. Did I not say very early in the, there's something wrong with this man? Not as a way of feeling good about myself or finding fault in others, not at all. But I was saying, and I warned, well, you know, who am I?
I'm a nobody. Except that on many occasions, the things that I have raised, the issues I have been raised, have been spot on. Spot on. But why is it that we are not? We talk like we can't tolerate one more minute of this president, and yet we do. The matter is urgent. How urgent is it? Well, you might say that's an exaggeration. But what is the latest? What is the latest theatrical performance by the president? We learned over the weekend that Donald Trump canceled a secret meeting that was to be held not just in this country, but in a particular place in this country, Camp David. It is where presidents, people of that ilk, they sequester themselves to talk about immediate, and one assumes, extremely urgent matters. But who was the president supposed to be talking with? Who was he meeting with in secret for months, apparently, without anybody knowing? One assumes only the people in the room knew that the president was having, and his administration, were having secret talks on U.S. soil with the Taliban. What? Did you say that right? Yes, I did. Donald Trump, who himself categorized the Taliban as a terrorist organization. Is now being exposed as having, him and members of his administration, of having secret meetings at Camp David. Now, you have to look at the symbolism of that. It has never been the case, and I don't even think it would ever be conjectured in the minds of people who have been to Camp David or have reported on Camp David or so forth, that the president, the current president of the United States, who knows all about terrorists and terrorism, who has castigated this one and that group as terrorists, who has even pronounced what he considers to be a fitting end to these groups and individuals, is receiving them in what for that world is hallowed ground. This is where presidents of the United States and people, other world leaders, are invited at this place to concentrate on matters of dire urgency. We have no idea when these talks started exactly. But do you not see how bizarre that is? These are the people you said were responsible in part for the 9/11 attacks on your country. This is where you are receiving them now to have secret talks. Something about that says there's somebody's brain here that isn't working right. You wonder why is it taking so long for a white van to be dispatched to the White House or to the closeted area that these people have been meeting for so long, and people show up in their military uniforms and just lead them into this white van, and the van vanishes, and they go where they will be questioned for a long, long time on these alleged talks. Does this sound like a normal mind to you? And worse, we are supposedly fortunate to have, as advisors to the president, all kinds of experts who should know. This, you can't even conjure up in your mind, even when you are drunk, you can't come up with a stupider plan than this. You're now sitting down with the people who, not too long ago, this country and this president were castigating as murderers, as the lowest of the low. And you're holding secret talks with them, not only in your country, but in the very bosom of your country. And supposedly, you've been meeting for all these months to figure a way of getting out of the ongoing slaughter in the Middle East. Now, granted, I'm not a military expert at all, but I'm speaking strictly from a common sense point of view. When somebody would react the way this president has been reacting, nobody knows. This is not a matter of public discussion and debate, certainly not by your administration. You have sequestered yourselves at Camp David to hold secret talks with the Taliban, your avowed enemy, in the heart of your country. And we're supposed to find nothing wrong with that. Well, he's talking peace. What could be wrong with that? Does this not show a total lack of sound judgment? And here's the thing. These talks are now, which have been ongoing for a long time, we don't know the exact date they started, but this president has hidden from the country, from his people, from the nation, that he, who was castigator in chief of the Taliban, has been meeting secretly with the Taliban in the bosom of American military action and thought and planning. And these talks were to continue through whatever they figured, they have come to some kind of conclusion. Except, you know, and in this quarter of the world where people are doing this kind of thing, a lot is attached to symbolism. And it soon would be the anniversary of the destruction, the annihilation of the World Trade Center. By whom? The Taliban! Yes! More than 3,000 American citizens slaughtered. The Taliban being named as one of the principal agents in that violent act. Our president is sitting in secret at Camp David having talks with the same people he accused of doing this. The discussions have nothing to do, as we understand it, with 9/11. They have to do with Afghanistan, which is a whole other debacle, American debacle. And for the life of me, I'm not by any means one of those, you know, ultra supporters of the government, right or wrong. I'm not that. But I'm saying, does this not indicate a violation of trust by a president of his own country to behave this way? And the people at the very top who are advising him have advised him up until this point. So do we have, in fact, is this proof that all along we have had spies in our midst at the very highest level, including and especially the office of the President of the United States, going against even those things he publicly espoused? This is huge. This is intolerable. There are people who would be willing to go to the extreme to express dissatisfaction with this arrangement. How is it that the president, who has all these high-profile, highfalutin military advisors, is allowed to entertain the thought of talks, secret talks, on your own land? You can't get worse than that, except if the president had ordered all branches of the U.S. military to attack its own country. If we don't understand this, then we should just give up and bake cakes and make lemonade and have a blast. Because our brains obviously would be useless. Right this day, right this minute of this day, this country should be on full alarm. This country, the president of this country should be sequestered, like any other prisoner of war. And now the country should be operating almost on special circumstances. Why? Because the president of the country, with no approval from Congress, no consultation with Congress, just he could do whatever he wants. Is pursuing a plan that would now require cooperation from the same people. He castigated them as enemies of the United States, as terrorists of the United States and the rest of the world. We should now subject the President of the United States to martial law. It seems to me, because he is, he does occupy the highest military position. He should be subjected to martial law and common law as well. How dare you lie to your people like that? How dare you arrogate to yourself this much power? And for a long time. And had somebody not said, oh, you know, we should avoid doing any kind of meeting because it's the anniversary of the 9/11 bombing in which your guests, you said it, we didn't say it, you said it, 9/11 was a culmination of their plans. And I'm sitting saying, I think I'm living in an alternate universe because life is going on as usual. Life is going on as usual. No need to panic. It's just another day, another bright and sunny day. You've had so many homes damaged, so many people dispossessed, so many people dead, so many people still suffering. You've had all kinds of calamities that as President of the United States, you should show some leadership on. Instead, you faking with a Sharpie to scare people who were not ever in danger. You're saying, yes, these people in this cone, you know, better watch because the storm is coming. We have a madman in the White House, and people are still pretending that that is not so. When Congress reconvenes, they're going to be talking about bills that need to be passed, budgets that need to be allocated, and, you know, as if everything is normal. They are not going to be demanding a dramatic change in the way they operate. Because we have all the indications necessary that the president cannot be trusted even to be loyal to his own country. They have told us, they told us, they quantified it in their scientific way, that Trump has lost most of his marbles. That he has inflicted harm on the country in the way he operates. That he seeks to block popular role of governance that Congress plays. He undermines the process of democracy. They will just go ahead like nothing is happening. And yes, we're going to have some meetings about having more meetings. And then we'll see what those meetings yield and compare them to the results of previous meetings to find out if we're on track still. And this man is fiddling while this country burns. I have a lot more to talk about, but I wouldn't even start it because for fear I wouldn't be able to finish it. So I'll stop here and we'll take some questions. We'll take a little break, come back and hear from you, what you have to say right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. To call in, it's 888-874-4888. There have been some major developments over the weekend, and it's not really the storm. That's a whole other discussion that we must have. But right now, even more urgent than that is getting information, little as it might be, but damaging and scary enough to change course and say, let's deal with this. This is what our president has now done and put the whole nation in this pile of manure. 888-874-4888. Jay from New York, you're our first caller today.
Hey, Teresa, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Hanging in there.
Always good to hear that. Listen, first question is, have a president ever been removed from office because of so-called mental illness?
I checked that, and I didn't see anything specific to it. So I still have to do some more digging to find out, because I'm sure that these questions, the question being the fidelity of the president to the country being at issue, not so much mental illness, but the fidelity of the country of the president being at issue.
Well, I would have to say that I don't see him being removed. He's too popular of a president that has control of the body to be able to remove him from office.
I'm not talking about removing him from office. But I'm not talking about removing him from office. That's already, it's going at like molasses, the speed of molasses going uphill with a rake.
But people need to get
excited about this business of democracy.
People are not looking at his so-called mental psychosis as a reason to remove him out of office, and people don't think that what he's doing on the whole is wrong. I mean, you and I may understand that there's some mental deficiencies going on here, but he's not showing total clear signs of dementia or anything like that, nor if he was, would the public be able to witness it. Just think about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, in his last couple of years in office, from what they said, had early stages of Alzheimer's and dementia, but society didn't know it. We didn't have a clue that he was suffering from the things that he's suffering. I mean, this clown here, he's causing his troubles through tweets. So if he continues to tweet in the crazy manner in which he is, that's not going to cause any type of reflection on him, because that's been his behavior. Now, in regards to this whole thing with Alabama and what went on with that, that's another story. But now, do you honestly think that the media is going to take the last 40 minutes like you did and break down this mental illness that this man has? No, they're not, because they're trying, like you always taught us, to make money. So they trying to sensationalize him on a certain level so that they continue to get advertisement revenue. They're not going to really delve into his madness. They may have a psychologist come on every now and then to drop a couple of jewels, but they're not going to do the real investigating, reporting, and put it out to the people in the most proper narrative so that we can understand how sick this man is. But all of this is to say, it's those that want him out of office job to get their act together to remove this clown, or this clown is going to be reelected. That's the biggest problem. The so-called Democratic Party got to put forward a message to be able to remove him. And if that has to do with mental illness, lies, and all of that,
I'm not seeing that happening anytime soon. I believe that, however, it is important that no one should be able to say, oh, I didn't know he did that. How was he allowed to do that?
Yeah, because
he's been functioning under the bar for a long time and doing what he wants.
But major media is not going to do that, Utrice. Major media is not going to take the necessary time to articulate the great work that you're doing right now, to point out to the people how this guy elevated is going up to the top floor. They're not going to do that, Utrice. If they would do it, things would be different. That's why he's in office, as far as I'm concerned, because of the media. If it wasn't for those like Morning Joe who talk about him like a dog now, he would not be in office, because I saw it from the beginning, the type of time, energy, and effort they put into dealing with him, because you know what? The one thing, they thought they was going to have access to him, just like Fox has.
Well, even there has been a visible change. People are beginning now to ask pertinent questions. We may not have too long to ask these questions. We don't know what could happen between then and now. We were basically arguing and whatnot. Our discussions were essentially about the nature of democracy and this administration and so forth. But never did one suspect that the President of the United States and his administration, that means the probably thousands of people corralled into these so-called talks to perform specific functions to absolve the Taliban and to pretend, well, look, you know, we had a small misunderstanding. That's the way they talk. There are people who lost their lives on battlefields. And you know, their families are still suffering. But that doesn't matter. The president decides, hey, let's... And we still don't know what is at the bottom of it. Is it just a peace arrangement?
Do the American public understand how dangerous what he was doing? Do the American public, or has the media exposed to the people of this country how dangerous and off balance this whole thing was? I mean, it all boils down to this. An unseasoned person trying to negotiate a deal that he knows nothing about negotiation. This is not real estate. And the media
he knows one
is
thing.
Not pointing
he knows
that
one
out.
Thing, Jay. How, even if you're sitting across the table from a sworn enemy, you yourself named it that way, how could we make money?
Hey, listen, with his mind,
and that's why
with
they
his
can't
mind,
tell
you
the
try to figure out a way.
He was involved in.
But let me say this, Utrice. Think about this. Everyone that's supposed to be a sworn enemy of the United States that he supposedly met with, from Kenya, or I think it is, to Putin, to others, why is it that after he meets with them, he refers to them as his friend? Don't that sound and look kind of strange to you?
Well, it doesn't sound good to the people he calls his friend. And they many articles are written in the media in Africa and Asia and other places where they just are appalled.
Right.
They are appalled by this man.
But not
in
America.
And the lies and so forth, which now, you know, leave them with the burden of having to explain what was the nature of the contact between our representatives and the United States. We had no idea that they were meeting and talking.
Right. If you got him supposedly being the head negotiator in this situation, and then you got Pence saying, I don't want no parts of this, or I wasn't totally prevalent to it, what is that telling you? There's just something, it's something real, real strange going on, like you say, with this guy. But what's even more strange in the American public is not picking this out is that he has people around him that allows him to tell them to set up these type of unhealthy situations for the country, and then they allow him to go forward with it unless somebody leaks it out to the media, and then the media decides to be critical of it. There's no telling what this man is doing, like you said, behind the scenes. There's no telling what type of deals that he's doing. And hopefully, at some point in time, the media will follow your lead and start making some type of demand to try and put this thing in order. Because if we don't, Utrice, this is not going to get better. This is about to get worse, like you said. Have a good day, my sister.
Okay. Good to hear from you, Jay. Thanks for calling in. You know, this is how a country falls apart from inside. The so-called leader of the country, whose entire life, up until the point of him assuming or her assuming leadership, had no particular affiliation, no particular connection to the people, not at all. The express purpose for seeking that office is to put your hands on cash, big cash, and you own a country. You own its assets and resources, and you multiply that all over the world. We'll talk about this especially on Wednesday. Gerald Horn is going to be with us, and of course we're talking about Mugabe, but in the context of world disorder, world wars, world chaos and confusion, we'll get close to appreciating how the strategic moves being made by a president, especially of a powerful country, creates a totally separate global economy for the rich and the super rich and the powerful. It's a nasty situation. And here we are, and I'm sure there are Americans now who are thinking, well, wait a minute, was this supposed to happen? Did the president put the country in danger? Did the president misrepresent with the Taliban? This was the man who was saying, oh, how evil the Taliban is, and we should only be dedicated to eradicating them. You'd invite them into the bosom. Into the bosom of your country. My God, we have definitely crossed a line, and there is nothing from this point on, certainly, that the president says that we need believe. He's lost all credibility, and he's mentally ill in the most serious way. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.